Hey there, welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal, and I am currently sitting in a hotel room in Kuala Lumpur. It's pretty late at night, and tomorrow is the day I will head back to America for the first time in a year. So it's really overwhelming, and maybe I feel the need to document my emotions at the moment, and that's why I'm sort of making a podcast right now, even though it's so late. I have to be up at like 5 a.m. I think for my flight, but that's okay because honestly I missed you guys, and I went on a little bit of a hiatus, even though my goal for this podcast is to put out something once a week-ish, and I've been gone for a couple weeks. But it feels really good to talk to you guys again, and I just feel so strange. The last few weeks, I have been traveling around Japan by myself, and now the thought of going back home for the first time is, you know, so emotional and so overwhelming, to say the least. And you know, like I said, I should be maybe sleeping, maybe doing a little bit more packing at this point, but I sort of felt compelled to make this episode now because A, you know, I wanted to say hi to you guys. I miss you. And, you know, I haven't checked my Anchor account in a bit, and my listen count has gone up quite a bit since I last made an episode. So if you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you don't know me, I'm Mal. I'm a student of astrology. I study tarot. I'm a baby witch. I sort of discuss all those things and explore these themes from a perspective of a student on this podcast. I also like to discuss, you know, random issues about, you know, millennial life or politics and a bunch of random shit too. So, and if you have left me a 5-star rating on iTunes, or you were so kind enough to leave me like a written review on iTunes, I just wanted to let you know that you are a baby angel and I love you, and you absolutely made my day if you wrote me a review. So thank you so much for that. And like I said, so I just wanted to come pop in and say hi, but I also have another purpose. I wanted to talk about tarot cards this episode, and it's going to be a little bit of a shorter, just sort of pop in, say hi. There's not going to be really any extensive astrology being discussed on this episode, which is sort of unusual for me because this podcast is typically pretty astrology heavy. But today I just really felt drawn to discuss the connection between numerology and also tarot cards. And I wanted to share with you all some tidbits about like monthly tarot card spreads and yearly tarot card spreads and things like that. And now, as always, if you're not into tarot or tarot is not your thing, maybe you feel drawn to other spiritual practices, that's totally okay. You don't need to be a tarot card reader or know anything about tarot cards to enjoy this episode or get anything out of it. But I'll make it very user-friendly. So even if you don't know anything about tarot, even if you're not a tarot card reader, I think maybe you'll still learn something from this episode. But if it's really, really not your thing, just hold tight for the next episode next week. I'm going to do a full astrology episode where we talk about Sagittarius as an archetype. We'll discuss Sagittarius season. And then I also think I'm going to talk about compatibility. Oh my God, I'm stuttering over that word because I am, as we'll discuss in a second, right now my yearly card, according to numerology, is the Hierophant. And then next year, 2019, according to numerology, my yearly card is the Lovers. So now I'm like stuttering over the word compatibility because a big part of me is sort of afraid to go into the Lovers year because I, regardless of me being in the Hierophant this year, I've deeply felt hermit energy as well. And I think that might be part of being in the Hierophant energy for an entire year. But anyways, we'll get to that. If you're like, don't know what I'm talking about, we'll get to that. I'm going to show you how to use numerology and use something called your life path number to calculate the tarot card that you were born into and also the tarot card that you are like living through each year. Now, of course, this was not like my original idea. there's a website called Little Red Tarot, I think, that I'll definitely link it in the show notes. And I think, but also I don't even know if Little Red Tarot invented this or if this is just sort of like a really ancient practice of numerology and tarot sort of coming together. But anyways, if any of this spikes your interest, please keep listening. If this tarot card stuff does not flow with you, no worries. Like I said, next episode, come back for next episode. We're going to do Sagittarius and we're going to do compatibility, some of my theories on compatibility and why I think maybe sun sign compatibility isn't all that it's sort of made out to be. So we'll definitely get into that like next episode. But let's get into sort of some tarot card stuff. So if you are a baby tarot card reader like me, meaning you don't really read professionally, or if you are a very new professional reader, or maybe if you're a seasoned professional reader, I don't know. I don't think any seasoned tarot card readers are necessarily listening to this, but if you are, God bless you. but, you know, if you are familiar with tarot, you most likely know there's something called a yearly tarot card spread. And there's like probably a bazillion variations of a yearly tarot card spread. But the kind I'm actually referring to is just like a really, really simple one. I mean, when someone, you know, pulls 12 cards at the beginning of a year to represent every month of the year. So just a 12 card spread, again, one card per 1 month. And I think for the most part, tarot readers are doing this in January, but I'm sure if you felt called to do it on Samhain or if you felt called to do it on your birthday month and pull the 12 cards for your year at that time, I'm sure that's a great idea. I think I feel more called to do it actually in every 6 months. Actually, for me, this year was the first year that I actually did a yearly spread, and I didn't even do it until half the year was over. So I think at the end of June, I pulled 6 cards, one for July, August, September, October, November, December. And then now at the end of December of this year, I'm going to pull another 6 cards for January, February, March, April, May, and June. So the reason I sort of have felt called to split up my yearly reading is because, I don't know, just for some reason, I think because I'm a baby reader, I think it's easier for me to tap into the energy of 6 months at a time versus looking at 12 cards all at once and kind of getting overwhelmed. And sometimes the 12 card yearly spread can be overwhelming. For instance, like if you're, you know, pulling these in January and let's say you see that you're going to be in the Tower or you have the Death card like in November, December, like, well, I don't fucking need to know like 12 months in advance that I'm going to be in the Tower, you know? So that's why I'm like, I just feel more called to do it in 6 month increments. And then I can also have something to look forward to mid-year. So that's sort of how I have done my yearly spread so far. Granted, I've only done one or half of one technically because I've only done this for 6 months. But I just want to say that this is like such a meaningful practice. And I know many of us do daily polls, or we'll do, you might do like a personal monthly spread. You might do two personal monthly spreads, one on each moon, full moon and new moon. You might do a spread every single day, who knows? But I think this specific spread, like to actually know what card is shaping each month, has just proved to be very, very helpful to me, more helpful than I ever thought it was going to be, especially this month, which I'll get into. But again, like there's no rules to tarot. I'm not saying you have to do this spread to be a tarot card reader, and I'm not saying you have to do it exactly as I am saying, but you know, I'm just saying it's very transformational if you let it be. And I would say if you do choose to do something like this for 2019, like maybe sometime mid-December, you think, you know, okay, I'm ready to pull my 12 cards for 2019. I just want to urge you, like, even though there's no rules in tarot and you can do whatever you want, you should really do this with great intention. What do I mean by that? Well, this sort of yearly spread that you're pulling, it's not just like any old daily spread, you know what I mean? Not that those aren't important, but this is sort of like, this can be a sort of ritual. This could be a really spiritual practice. Like if you wanted to, you could take a bath before this. You could do some kind of ritual with your altar. You could, speak with your ancestors to help you guide you through this reading. Like, I think this should really be done with great intention. Like, I don't think this kind of thing should be taken lightly or be sort of a joke. Like, oh, let's see, like, is there any month I'm gonna, you know, meet my soulmate? Like, is the Two of Cups gonna come in? Like, I don't see this reading being a joke, you know, like, and I don't think tarot is ever a joke, and I always take tarot seriously, and I also always take astrology seriously. I mean, I hope everybody gets that, like, even if I, like, poke fun at a sign, or, like, I poke fun at an archetype, like, at the end of the day, like, I do find this, like, very intentional and serious work. So that's all I really have to say about that kind of spread. Like, just if you're going to do it with fucking intention and integrity. And don't just, like, do it willy-nilly. Like, make sure that you are feeling good the day you decide to do this yearly spread. Make sure you have set intentions and boundaries, and make sure it's not sort of, like, done lightly. Because let's say you pull 12 cards and you don't like how they look, and then maybe in a day or two you reshuffle and then you pull another 12 cards and you're like, and then you just keep pulling and pulling until you sort of see 12 cards per month that you can sit with. Well, then the whole fucking thing loses its power, you know? Like, that's the thing. Like, this is a sort of like one-time deal. Like, you should do it once, and no matter if the cards surprise you or if the cards quote-unquote look good or quote-unquote look bad, that's not going to mean that you're going to have a horrible year. Like, just because the Tower and Death, by the way, I think this has been like probably one of the best years of my life, and I had both the Tower and the Death card in the last 6 months, I think. So and that's probably why it's been one of the best years of my life. So don't sweat over that. Don't fear that. Don't fear like getting a lot of swords cards in your 12 card spread or whatever. So you're picking up what I'm putting down. Okay. So actually, one more thing, just so you guys know sort of how to use the power of having a monthly card, you can incorporate it into your bullet journal. You can just meditate on it. You can know that, you know, let's say in November, you're in the Sun card, but in December, you're transitioning into the Hermit. So you can start to prepare certain things, certain rituals, certain daily practices that you do to sort of transition into this energy. And it can just aid something. It can aid your life in a good way. It can actually make your life easier. For instance, I'll give you a personal example. This November, my card was the Three of Pentacles. And it's funny because the Three of Pentacles is sort of a very shadowy card for me. Because, I mean, okay, let's start with the imagery of the card. Let's talk about the Three of Pentacles for a second. Because I think people maybe oversimplify it sometimes, but it's three people. I mean, if we're going off the traditional Rider-Waite Coleman Smith deck, there's three people. They look like they're in a sort of church, and I actually looked it up on my little Rider-Waite Smith pamphlet guidebook paper thingy thing that comes with the deck, and it's like literally just a little piece of paper that folds out, but they actually caption the Three of Pentacles as sculptor at his work in a monastery. And I think that's really interesting. And I think the story goes that in the card you can clearly see that the guy, like, standing, I think he's standing on a bench or something, he's a sculptor. But then the other two people in the card, I think one is either like a priest or a monk. And then the other one in the crazy looking cape is like a church beneficiary or something like that. But anyways, it doesn't fucking matter who they are. What matters is that this card is sort of about teamwork. It's about group projects, it's about the ability to work together, and it's about sort of the ability to take in other people's viewpoints and not just work from your own mind. And that is exactly why this card is so shadowy for me. And I swear to you, I started feeling this Three of Pentacles energy like I've never felt it before. Even on like Halloween, I think Halloween was the day where I was like, wow, like I already feel this November being the Three of Pentacles. Like this was like a prime example of when people tell like beginning tarot card readers that like you must live through the card to understand it or la-di-da-di-da. Like I really truly truly have felt like I have lived through the Three of Pentacles now, and I have this like understanding of it that's so much deeper than what any guidebook could ever tell me. And it started when actually in this hotel couple weeks ago, like on Halloween before I went to Japan, we were having a meeting with me and the other English teachers who were based in Malaysia in my same program. And we were sort of doing this like kind of cheesy, like warm and fuzzy sort of activity where we were like throwing yarn and like saying nice things about everybody. And it was nice. It was kind of a nice end to our program, because we were all very emotional. I mean, we've all been away from our families for a year. We've been teaching English. We've been in Malaysia, which is it just culture shock every single day. And none of us knew each other before coming into this program, and we all sort of had to rely on each other anyways. And it was just sort of a big moment to come to the end of this. In numerology, we were definitely at like a 9. We were all definitely 9s in that moment. And I realized I was in the Three of Pentacles when my Aquarius friend, and then, gosh, I forget what his sign is. That's very unlike me. I can like remember my garbage man sign, like my mailman sign. but I can't remember this certain friend's sign. But my Aquarius friend, she had said something nice to me, nice about me. She was sort of talking about the podcast, and she said that she had learned a lot from me this year, but not just about astrology, but about spirituality and that kind of thing. And that really meant a lot to me. But then my other friend, he paid me a compliment that, like, it didn't even register to me that I had affected him in this way, when he said that, I did a really, really small, like, I think it might have been, like, a 1 or 2 card tarot card reading for him, I think in an airport at some point mid-year, and I knew he liked the reading because he asked me to send him a picture of the cards that I had pulled for him, but he had told me that just like how much the reading had meant to him, and he said that he thought about it like every single day on his run before school. He would think about what I told him and how it really helped him get through the year, and it still makes me emotional. And it's not even about like me having an effect on him, but it's like feeling that Three of Pentacles energy when you're like me, like Miss Loner, like do everything herself, like never ask for help, like, and that comes from my North Node Scorpio. So maybe my North Node Scorpios can empathize. Like, we do not like to ask for help. We don't like to think that we need other people. We don't like to think that we could be vulnerable enough to ask for help, right? In a sense, our comfort zone is being a loner, is being a hermit. Like I told you, I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that I had just gone to Japan by myself for 2 weeks, and I bet there's some people who are listening to this and they're like, oh my God, I could never do that. Like, I could never go somewhere by myself for that long. Like, I'm the opposite. Like, I'm like, I can't imagine a person that I would want to spend 2 weeks straight with. That's how big of a loner I am. Like, I would 10 out of 10 times choose to be by myself. And that's why the Three of Pentacles is so shadowy for me. But in listening to my two friends sort of you say something really nice to me, it actually really changed my perspective. It really did. It was sort of like, I cannot continue to be this sort of loner, introvert character. Like, I need to be like that in some ways, but in another sense, like, I can't deliver the messages people need to hear from me, or I can't heal the people that need to be healed by me if I never put myself out there, or if I take human interaction for granted, or I don't think that human interaction is necessary for me to survive. And, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to say that, but like, there's definitely like a very shadowy side of me where I have like this chip on my shoulder where like I don't need anybody. Like, I don't need, there's been times when I feel like I don't need my family, I don't need my friends, I don't need anybody. I could be on an island in the middle of the ocean and be completely fine. And that's not healthy. That's so not healthy. And I'm like, wow, like this Three of Pentacles energy is just blowing my mind. So, not to ramble so much about my own personal realizations, but I'm just letting you know that like these monthly cards, like if you really take them seriously and you really practice them with intention and you sort of really soak in that energy, it can be so powerful. And I truly, truly feel a change like really deep inside of me with this Three of Pentacles, to the point where I've been on solo trips before, but the one that I just finished in Japan was different. Like, even though I was by myself, for the first time, I was practicing meaningful solitude instead of like destructive lonerism, let's call it. I really got to the root of, like, you know, destructive lonerism, like how a lot of, I think, North Node and Scorpios can be, and maybe just a lot of water signs can be, and maybe a lot of millennials can be like this too, because we, you know, grew up in a very unsafe world where, you know, we had to have school shooting drills when we went to school, and then school wasn't safe, and then coming home after school wasn't safe because we had the internet. So, like, in a sense, like, bullying wasn't just in the realm of school, like, bullying was also in the realm of home, and la-di-da-di-da, and everything could have been there just could have been a sense that us who were raised as millennials, we could, what am I trying to say here? I think the internet might sort of feed into this, like, destructive lonerism that I have felt many times in my life. And I think it really just roots, for me at least, from, you know, general fear of going out into the world, which sounds very strange from a person who's traveled so much. But of course I have that fear, and of course that fear has motivated me to do the things that I've done. And also the fear of putting yourself out there and just connecting with people. Like, that's also a fear. And it sounds like a silly fear. Like, why wouldn't you want to connect with people? Well, good fucking question. I don't good, like, seriously, this Three of Pentacles is, like, it almost feels more collective now that I'm talking about it. Like, I didn't expect to be talking about it this much, but I wonder if there are people on the other side listening to this, and maybe in a sense, like, even though it was my November card, maybe it is our sort of collective energy reading, even though that wasn't my intention. It just seems like that's where this is going. But yeah, I guess to wrap up, what I also wanted to tell the baby tarot card readers out there, I gave my best reading I think I've ever given to a stranger, like, less than a week ago. And I gave my best reading to my Airbnb host. And I was staying in, like, an Airbnb. It was actually quite tranquil. It was sort of in a forest. It was definitely near Mount Fuji. And his house is sort of like a traditional, like, Japanese home, which I really enjoyed. I felt so connected, and my messages were so clear in that home because it was so simplistic. It was very zen, for lack of a better term, but I mean literally zen, not zen in the sense that, like, people going to yoga and wearing Lululemon, like, no, it was, like, legitimately, like, the Japanese practice of zen was his house. Like, it was very simplistic. I slept on a cot on the floor in my room. There was, like, the traditional, like, Japanese, like, sort of, like, bamboo woven floor. I had a very simple bed that had no bed frame. My doors were, like, thin, like, paper. If you've ever seen the sort of, you can just look up traditional Japanese home. But that's sort of, like, what my room looked like. And I had no clutter in my room, and it was, like, amazing. Like, when I woke up in that forested house, like, it would just be me and, like, my crystals that I had in the room and, like, my tarot cards, and I had no clutter, and it was just an amazing feeling. But at one point in the house, it was just me, another British couple that was staying in the Airbnb with me, and then also this Airbnb host. And, like, of course, because it's me, I somehow end up reading all three of their tarot cards. And I guess that was also me sort of Three of Pentacles-ing, because at that point, maybe at another point in this year, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have put myself out there like that. Maybe I wouldn't have made conversation with this British couple, or I wouldn't have like connected so deeply with the Airbnb host, but we just all were connecting, and I was like so ready to give them all readings, and my ears were ringing off the hook and la-di-da. And anyways, my advice, I guess, my piece of advice for beginning tarot card readers is what my Airbnb host said to me, and he said, be confident. Now, why did he say that? Well, I gave him a reading, and it wasn't the kind of reading where it was like both of us talking. He was very silent, and he just really listened to what I had to say, and I was reading off of the Osho Zen Tarot, and I was sort of telling him just all the fears that he had been conquering, and my intuition was just like really, really flowing. And you know, at the end of talking, I had been talking for like 20 minutes straight, and he just hadn't said anything. He was just nodding and smiling and like, yeah, yeah. And then I asked him, I was like, did that resonate with you? And he said, oh, he's like, pretty much every single thing you said resonated with you. And of course, my dumbass, I was like, really? Really? It did? And like, that's like literally how I ruined this. I didn't ruin it. I mean, he still really liked it. And he sort of, in a way, compensated me for the reading, because the next night he bought me dinner and I didn't have to pay for dinner at his house. So it was nice. He was like appreciative of my gift. And that was kind of the first time I didn't give my gift away for free, even though my intention was to do that, just because it was worth it to read on a stranger, to have practice reading for a stranger. But anyways, yeah, guys. And then after I said that, he's like, you should be more confident, because, you know, everything you said was like spot on. Like, and he took a picture of the cards, and he wanted me to like write him some notes. And I just felt really happy to have connected with him on that level. But I was also almost felt like when he told me to be confident, not only was it the Three of Pentacles card, like it was like us working as a team, but it felt like my spirit guides were speaking through him. Do you ever get that when someone says something and you're like, God, are they even saying that to me? Or is that like my fucking great, great grandma? Like, or is that like my whatever, whoever you want to call them, my higher self or God or whatever. Like, I really felt like it was not him speaking that. Like, it was someone else telling me, a higher power telling me to be more confident. So anyways, I'm sorry if that was so rambly, that story. I guess at this point now I'm just making this episode to document my feelings for myself right now. But let's also next, let me take a quick break. And then next, I'm going to teach you how to calculate your numerology so you can tell which card you are in for each year, and also which card you were born in on. So be right back. Okay, I'm back. So hopefully I got through to some of you just like how much I love yearly spreads and, you know, having that monthly card to guide you as a baby witch, as a baby horoscope witch, as a baby tarot card reader. It's really, really important. So don't underestimate that, or don't undervalue having that monthly card, because you can use it all month long to your power. And I'm still not finished with Three of Pentacles, you know? I'm just getting started, baby. Okay, so now let's talk about numerology and something called your life path number. Now, it's important to note that in numerology, you have like a fucking billion different numbers you can calculate about yourself. Okay, you could calculate your life challenge number, you can calculate your soul number. Like, there's a bunch of shit that you can calculate. And We could do like a book club on that one day, but like for right now, just the most basic number from numerology that you should know is your life path number. Also, I should mention, what is numerology really quickly? It's just like, I would say it's just the act of viewing numbers spiritually. So I think we've all had maybe an instance in our lives where we started seeing a number that started to mean something to us, or maybe we have a lucky number. For me, it's like 222 or 2323. I see so much 2323 all over this year, especially, or 1111. Those kind of numbers can pop up. So that you should keep track of that, because this day and age, we're so disconnected from our spirit guides that they will literally do anything to get our attention. It's kind of funny. Like, I've had bills come out as 2323, or I've had been seated at tables that are number 23. So just little things like that, like that you think are just a coincidence, I would actually challenge you and say that I don't believe in coincidences, and you should also examine what actually is a coincidence, because I'm pretty sure the actual definition of a coincidence is like an occurrence with no like scientific proof, or like there's no scientific proof as to why this occurrence happened, or like when you run into something, there's like, or when you run into someone at the store, like you could say, oh, what a coincidence that I see you here, but maybe it's really not. You know, maybe they're meant to give you a message, or maybe you're meant to give them a message. So don't simplify these little things in life, because they can be important. So yes, back to our life path number though. So our life path number is really easy to find. So what you do is, actually it's easy to get out a pen and paper, and you can just write all the digits of your birthday. So do I need to explain this? Like, let's just use my birthday, February 28th, 1995. So if I were to write the digits for that, it would be 2281995. Okay, so I have all those digits, the month, the day, and the full year. Now I'm going to add each of those digits up individually. So I'm going to add 2 plus 2 plus 8 plus 1 plus 9 plus 9 plus 5. Okay, and all of that is going to come to a number 36. Okay, pause. If at this point your numbers have added up to an 11, a 22, or a 33, you can stop at this point, because you've already found your life path number, because you actually have something called, shit, what are these numbers called? Why am I blanking? 11, 22, 33. What are they called? Power numbers? Perfect numbers? I literally just looked this up. I'm blanking. It'll come to me. But anyways, 11, 22, 33, these are sort of like perfect numbers that can't be simplified. Like, so you're just gonna leave it. By the way, you're not I'm just gonna be like, you're not special if you have a life path 11. Like, you're special. You're special if you are an 11, a 22, or a 33, okay? I'll just give you that. You're special. But also, in one of my numerology books, it makes the note that Hitler and Saddam Hussein, I believe, both had life path number 22. So, you know, you can do a great amount of good on this world, in this world, if you have one of these magic numbers, but you can also do a great amount of evil. So, you know, I just don't think a life path is, no life path number is better than the next, okay? Okay, but let's say if you got, from the addition of all your digits, let's say you got a 36 or a 24. Okay, you're gonna further keep adding until you just get a single digit between the numbers 1 and 9. Okay, so for instance, when we add up my birthday, 2 plus 2 plus 8 plus 1 plus 9 plus 9 plus 5, I'm going to get a 36. 3 plus 6 is a 9. So then I would stop there, and alas, I am a life path number 9. Uh-oh. Just kidding. Okay, so now you have your life path number. I'm not going to get into the descriptions of each life path number because you can Google that shit, and B, that we need an entirely different episode for that. This, we're talking about tarot cards. I'm trying to get you to realize what tarot card you have. Now, since I was born in on a life path number 9, that also means that my birth card is the Hermit, because the Hermit is a number 9. Now, you may be like, wait, Mal, hold up. Well, what if my birthday digits add up, let's say, to a 14? Well, then, in that case, I think before you simplify 14 to 1 plus 4 equals 5, you can actually just take into account that both you were born into two cards, if that makes sense. So the number 14 card is Temperance, right? But then if we add 1 plus 4 equals 5, well, that's the Hierophant. So you could also say that you were born in on a Hierophant Temperance vibe. I also could say that because I was born in on a 36, which is actually a 9, which is a Hermit. The Hermit is also connected to, what other card? What's number 18? Fuck, that's the Moon, right? I think, guys, don't quote me on this. I need to go to bed soon. But hopefully you get to the gist of it. So from here, whatever your life path is, you can figure out your card that you were born on. And I find that to be really powerful, like to know that I was born in on a Hermit card. How does the Hermit card shape my life? How does the Hermit card create certain challenges and shadow sides, but also make me a more powerful person who is able to change, I don't want to say change the world, but I would say affect certain people with my powers of the Hermit, right? And I don't think there's a good or a bad card to be born in on. Like, don't get all up in a tizzy if you were born in on a 13, let's say, and your cards are the Death card and then the Emperor, like, because 1 plus 3 equals 4. Don't be like, oh, fuck, like, why did I get the fucking Emperor and the Death card? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Hey, honestly, you could be a fucking powerful ass bitch with those cards. Like, that is not a bad thing to be born in on the Death card and the Emperor. And same with the Tower. If you were born in on, guys, right, I'm usually really good with numbers. I'm like blanking on all the numbers of the cards right now. But let's just say you were born in on the Tower. Like, don't freak out. That doesn't mean your whole life is doomed. I think that's really amazing that you were born with like this Saturnian energy of the Tower. And maybe, I don't think that necessarily means you're going to have more Tower moments than any other person. I think that means maybe you will be even better at dealing with that kind of stuff. That Saturnian energy will be your power. So yeah, figure out how you can use this birth card to your power. So now, one more thing. How do we figure out our card of the year from numerology? It's very similar to how we calculated our life path number and our birth card. So to calculate your card of the year, you just take the digit of your birthday and your birth month and then the current year. So for me, like February 28th, so 2 plus 2 plus 8, and then plus 2018, so plus 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 8. Let's say you were born on, just in case I'm being confusing, I'll give you another example, September 14th. So that would be 9 plus 1 plus 4 plus 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 8. Add all that shit up, get your double digit number, and then add that up again. And then you have your card of the year. So my card of the year happens to be the Hierophant, which I mentioned in the beginning of this episode. And that's really helpful information. And it's also very helpful information that I'm going into the Lover's year next year because I can really start to meditate on why I am fucking terrified of that. Please send help. So that's just like a little tip when we're preparing for, I mean, technically the witch's new year has passed. We're good. We're all good with Samhain, but now the human people's new year is coming up, and or I should say the Muggle. That's what I meant to say. The Muggle new year is coming up. And how do we prepare with our tarot cards? How do we empower ourselves with tarot cards to have the best year we can possibly have? Well, like we discussed in the beginning, do your yearly spread, actually physically pull 12 cards for yourself that represent each month and do that with intention and integrity, which however that means to you. And then also make sure you keep becoming aware of how your birth card continues to grow as you get older and older. What are you learning in relation to your birth card? And also, what is your card of the year based off of the numerology of 2018 going into 2019? And all of those things are going to be, dare I say, better than any horoscope you're going to read on the internet about, Pisces horoscope 2019 or Virgo horos yearly horoscope 2019. Like, this is actually personal to you, right? Like, you're actually cultivating this with your own power and your own numerology, which is quite empowering. And I really hope I empowered you in some way today. And I'm sorry if I rambled a little too much about my personal life. I'm usually not so open about what I'm going through, or yeah, but it's the Three of Pentacles, guys. Like, I had to rope in my podcast listeners into my Three of Pentacles too, and I wanted us all to be in this party. So thank you so much for listening. I hope a few of you got something out of this. And also, I want to put myself out there and say that I really felt, like I said this month, the importance of me as a baby tarot card reader reading for strangers. So if you ever needed to do a reading on a stranger, hit me up. I would be totally not judgmental about anything you needed help with. So if you ever need help with that, let me know. I'm thinking about maybe one day in the near future, maybe I could just get together like a little Facebook group of baby tarot card readers like myself, and we can just all sort of will be sort of strangers enough that we could read on each other and practice, and we wouldn't be so nervous for the big day when we all go professional. Just kidding. I don't really know if that'll happen for me or what that is, but anyways, Instagram also coming soon, so soon. Just let me get on American soil and then I can retrieve my Instagram password. Guys, don't ask. It's fucking stupid, and Instagram customer service sucks. But that'll be coming up literally in the next couple days. And next episode, like I said, we'll talk about Sagittarius and we will talk about compatibility. Hang in there. We just got done with the Venus retrograde, but Mercury retrograde is starting like less than 24 hours from when Venus retrograde ends, Mercury retrograde starts. So we'll also talk about that next week. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Love you, and can't wait to talk to you next.